This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Will Representative Green present himself to the will? By its adoption of House Resolution 189, the House has resolved that Representative Al Green be censured, that Representative Al Green forthwith present himself in the will of the House of Representatives for the pronouncement of censure, and that Representative Al Green be censured with public reading of this resolution by the Speaker.
So there you have the censure of Al Green from his actions that he chose to participate in at the joint address to Congress. And we are going to listen to Hans von Spakovsky now tell us what he thinks about that. Hans, when we hear a censure on the House floor, what does that actually mean for Al Green? Is there actual punishment that goes along with that, or is it just like shame on you publicly?
Well, the censure itself is shame on you, but the House can also impose other punishment. And as I understand it, there's a movement afoot to strip Al Green of his sitting on any and all committees that are in the House. And let me tell you, if you're a House member and you're not allowed to sit on any committees, let me tell you, there's not much you can do other than sit in your office and twiddle your thumbs all day.
Isn't that what they did? They do that to Marjorie Taylor Greene? Or was that the Republican Party that did that to her? I remember she was basically like, fine, I'll just go campaign and talk to the people in the district. But I feel like she was not on. I think when I don't know if I remember that correctly. Do you remember?
Yeah, I don't recall. Now, keep in mind that censure is only one of the things that can be done. There have been instances in the history of the House of Representatives where they have actually expelled members. That usually only happens when you have really serious issues such as, you know, corruption and things like that. But, you know, the Constitution makes it very clear in Article 1 that each House is the judge of the qualifications of its own members. And there have been instances, like I said, where members have been actually expelled from the House.
We're speaking with Hans von Spakovsky, senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. We love your legal expertise, and the Supreme Court came down with the ruling here. Seems kind of controversial, at least in conservative circles that I'm reading reaction to it, regarding the $2 billion in funding that the Trump administration tried to pull back. Can you kind of walk us through just the basics of what that question was about and how the Supreme Court decided to rule?
Yeah, remember, one of the things that Trump ordered the State Department to do was to pause. Now that's an important word, to temporarily pause all foreign assistance payments coming out of the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID. So a group went to court. It's called the AIDS Vaccine Advocacy Coalition. And it's just a group of American businessmen and nonprofits that get foreign assistance from USAID. They went to court and claimed that the president didn't have the power to do that. He couldn't put in a temporary pause. And the judge assigned to the case, by the way, this guy's name is Amir Ali. He was a Biden appointee. And by the way, he is now. He's a U.S. citizen, but he's also a Canadian citizen because he was educated in Canada. Why they would appoint someone like that to be a U.S. district judge, I don't know. And he has expressed pretty bad anti-American sentiments before he became a judge. But anyway, he issues an order requiring the government to pay out about $2 billion that these particular organizations said they're entitled to, and they appealed that. And the Supreme Court refused to take the appeal. And the liberal justices, as you know, of course, they voted in favor of a Biden district court appointee. But unfortunately, the chief justice agreed, and so did Amy Coney Barrett. There was a dissent written by Alito, joined by Thomas, Gorsuch, and Kavanaugh that is worth reading. It is scathing. And they put it very simply. Does a single district court judge have the unchecked power to compel the government of the U.S. to pay out and probably lose forever $2 billion taxpayer dollars? The answer to that is an emphatic no, but a majority of this court apparently thinks otherwise. I am stunned. Those are the words of Justice Alito, and everyone should be stunned. I cannot believe, look, the Chief Justice has made bad decisions like this now on numerous occasions. And when it comes to Amy Coney Barrett, I cannot believe she went along with the Chief Justice on this. In fact, I have a feeling, you know, somebody once asked Dwight Eisenhower what was the worst mistake he made while he was president. He said, appointing Earl Warren to the U.S. Supreme Court. And I suspect right now that if somebody were to ask Donald Trump about that, what was the worst mistake he made in his first term, he would say appointing Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court.
Ooh, we're speaking with Hans von Spakovsky right now. It's kind of an answer to the question that I was going to pose to you right now. A lot of people in conservative circles are very, very up in arms about Amy Coney Barrett as a justice on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that we should be advocating, and I think that Republican conservatives do advocate for constitutionalist justices, not conservative justices, because we know
right.
how frustrating it is when you understand the politics of those who are the liberal justices, and it seems as though they always go with what the liberal political side of an issue is. Sometimes
right.
in the Constitution, they might choose to go, you know, obviously look at what is in the Constitution, and it doesn't necessarily favor the conservative side because they've erred on the side of freedom or whatever it might be. Do you feel as though Amy Coney Barrett has she adhered greatly to the Constitution? Is she weighing in with some sort of bias here politically that is causing her to disagree with some frequency with what the right thinks is the right thing to do?
I think she's just making major mistakes and major errors. And I'm just shocked, stunned, really, just the same way Justice Alito is, at her naivete. I guess that's the word I would use. And her failure to act with the boldness needed. I mean, look, think about what this case is all about. Okay, whether or not you think this foreign aid money should be paid or not, paid out or not, that's not the issue. The issue is that you have a lone federal district court judge saying that he has more power to spend federal money appropriated by Congress than the president of the United States elected by almost 80 million Americans. That is so unconstitutional. It's just, like I said, stunning to me that the Chief Justice John Roberts would allow this to go on, and the reaction was the same. Now, look, it wasn't all bad news last week. We had the Trump administration actually had good news in another case where they a three-judge panel of the Court of Appeals of the District of Columbia overturned a decision by another federal judge, this time an Obama judge, had told the president that he couldn't fire the head of the Office of Special Counsel, who was a Biden political appointee, and who, by the way, was interfering by telling the president that he had no power to fire other federal government employees. And again, so you had the same situation. You had a Biden political appointee at one minor federal agency saying that he has more power than the president of the United
States. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hans, this is Ryan. I'm glad to hear the good news because I was trying to find a silver lining in the 5-4 split on the USAID money. And tell me if I'm interpreting this right. It's not that the Supreme Court ruled against the Trump administration. It's that they simply chose to leave the lower court opinion in place, which means they technically didn't say anything about it, right?
Yeah, that's right. But what Alito said, and I think he's correct, is that this is such an outrageous abuse of power by the lower court, the district court judge in this case, the guy who's who's a dual American and Canadian citizen, that the court should have and, in fact, was obligated to step in and stop this abuse of power. That's what Alito and the other three justices who dissented said. And I think he's right.
Hans, as we're watching this first, I guess, 6 weeks of the Trump administration, has the Supreme Court stepped into any of this, check on powers that we're kind of watching play out? Have they stepped into anything yet?
Not on a substantive, not in a substantive way. I mean, we keep getting emergency appeals filed with the court to stop these temporary restraining orders, injunctions by these lower court judges, and they just haven't stepped in the way they should. The court has an obligation to stop the abuse of power by district court judges. Look, district court judges, they're the lowest of the federal judges in the country. And to think that they've got more power than the president of the United States and that they can order the president to pay out, for example, here in this case, $2 billion, or to tell him, you can't find a Biden political appointee. The Supreme Court needs to step in and stop this kind of abuse. And Justice Alito showed that, they need to do it. And he is extremely disappointed that the Chief Justice and Amy Coney Barrett didn't do what they were obligated to do and to stop that kind of abuse.
Well, Hans, we appreciate you for breaking that down for us, because a lot of people are looking at that. And I think it's a head scratcher for folks who are trying to follow this. There's always nuance to it. And that's why we love your expertise. Hans, thanks for being with us today.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Of course. We'll talk to you again soon. Hans von Spakovsky there with us, as per the usual, on a Thursday afternoon, the senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Let's take a quick break. That YouTube live chat poll is up and ready for you to join us on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, youtube.com/@AnnieFry, F-R-E-Y. We broadcast live there every day, and it's a great way to stay connected. So go subscribe to the YouTube channel. And in our broadcast today, in the live chat portion, is where we have the YouTube live chat poll. Can the Democratic Party recover in time to make gains in the midterm election? Yes or no? It's important. We need to be paying attention to this. Curious where you land on this issue. Let's get to Wiggins America next. Don't go away.